It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
Hey, everybody, welcome on in. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, thanks for being with us. 7 o'clock means, of course, so you can always join us right here on KSL's Unrivaled on KSL News Radio. We talk about all the things in the world, but we focus on sports. Some of the other peripheral things sort of find their way into the show, and that's why we bring former NFL quarterback in on things, Scott Mitchell. Scott, how you doing tonight, buddy?
I am outstanding, Alex. Man, I got a lot to talk about tonight.
We've got a full show. And we've got a lot of fun things we've got planned to talk about. We're going to start things off, though, as we usually do. I want to start things asking you first about why is it that Zach Wilson is not being discussed enough by BYU and by BYU fans? Normally, I would roll my eyes and say, come on, at the beginning of the year when the Heisman stuff was brought up, Scott, why is it that BYU fans and BYU themselves are not talking about this guy as a Heisman Trophy hopeful as much as anybody else gets talked about? This is a shame. It's a real problem, unless we're overdoing it as BYU people. Scott, are we? You're the outside looking in. Please help me on this one.
So this is our 7:05 cut, right?
It's going to be as soon as I can get the as soon as I can get my computer to speak to me here. But yes,
okay. I'll speak to you in the meantime. Look, here's the deal. If BYU is really serious about being a national stage, they wanted to be independent. They wanted to dance with the big boys. They want to be the big boys. Then this is a big boy trophy, the Heisman Trophy.
Yes.
And it just feels to me like they're almost afraid to talk about it. They're afraid to promote. I mean, you haven't had a better situation at BYU for a quarterback to be discussed in the Heisman Trophy discussion. And seriously, I mean, Zach Wilson should be discussed about this every single week, and it should be pushed, and it should come from BYU.
But isn't it
They shouldn't wait till the season's over or till they have some big win or whatever.
Right.
It should be right now.
Well, that's why it was an interesting deal for me to watch this whole thing go down, because even as I think it was like, 3 weeks ago, I told you, I said, after we went to that first BYU game at BYU, there were no fans, but the discussion was already being had. BYU was 2-0, 3-0 maybe, and at the end of it, I asked one of the SIDs down at BYU, are we going to start seeing some Zach Wilson for Heisman t-shirts around, some bumper stickers, what are we doing here? And they were like, no, none of that. And I was like, why not? And it was almost like this thing of, well, we don't want to jinx it. You know how sports people are, Scott. We don't want to jinx it. We don't want to you don't want to talk about it too much. But it's not a humility thing. I'll tell you what it is. It's a low self-esteem thing, Scott.
Exactly.
We feel bad.
Right.
You feel like, well, we don't really deserve it. We're just BYU. We haven't really done much recently, and we've had a couple of 7-6 seasons in a row. Own the fact that everybody else still in the country goes, oh, yeah, BYU, they have those awesome quarterbacks that go through there. You got to own that. So he was on this show tonight called ESPN, the College Football Playoff Top 25. They invited Zach Wilson on their national show to talk to, because he is important on the national level.
When you say they invited him on the show, did they take him there? Did they interview him? What do
yes,
you mean?
Yes, I mean,
now
it's like they do it over the Zoom call. But, I mean, they
gotcha.
Have him on the show, and they want to get some drops from this kid who's kind of this phenom who's entered the national discussion. So here's what he had to say on ESPN this evening about execution and the consistency that they have as a team right now at 6-0.
The execution overall, not necessarily who you're playing on offense or defense, but just the consistency of a team. You know, And, you know, honestly, you know, about the strength of schedule kind of thing, you know, you look at the teams that we've played this year and some of the teams we played last year. You know, we had some losses against some teams that, you know, are similar to teams this year that we should have beaten, and we were just inconsistent. And so, you know, the consistency of a team this year is one way to look at how much more dominant that we have been.
Scott, they're talking
here's
to
what
him.
They need
they're
to
talking
do.
To him.
No kidding. But here's what BYU needs to do. And they really need to do this. If they're really serious about being a national presence, they need to act like it, and this is what they need to do. Don't BYU doesn't need to hype this. BYU doesn't need to say anything. All BYU has to do is grab all of the clips from all the national pundits, and not just some yo-yo from, you know, from wherever. I mean, some well-known
are
names.
Are we the yo-yos from wherever?
We're not.
Saying?
Actually, oh, okay. If people listen to us, they go, oh, these guys pretty much know what they're talking about. If they would just go to these people, the people like the Kurt Herbstreets, or when Andre Ware, and Andre Ware is a former Heisman Trophy winner, right. And there's a lot of national press. And I'll tell you another person, and I listen to this, okay, I'm going to confess to this, and I don't care, it doesn't matter to me, but I listen to BYU, Utah Sports Nation, I can't get it out of my head, BYU Sports Nation, and they were interviewing Steve Young, who's a BYU guy, but Steve Young is also
a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yeah, right? And he knows what he's talking about. And when you hear him talk, you go, yep, he's saying the right things. He's not just a BYU homer, even though he is, but he's talking about BYU intelligently, and he's another guy that...
But he's also been a Heisman finalist, too. I mean,
right, and he understands the national media. He's a member of the national media. He does Monday Night Football for ESPN. He's very well-known, very well-respected. And you have him, you have all of these people out there talking about the excellent play of Zach Wilson, and that's how you push this. You know, it's not BYU, you know, whining or complaining or pretending or whatever. Here, don't listen to us. Hear what the people across the nation are saying about Zach Wilson for the Heisman Trophy. That's what they need to push, because that's the story. And you can't wait if you're BYU. You cannot wait for a Boise State signature win. That will come. It'll either come or it won't. But Zach Wilson should be heavily discussed as a real Heisman Trophy candidate, and you cannot wait. And you need to act like, hey, this thing just happens all the time here.
Well,
at BYU.
I think about what Utah did with when Tyler Huntley was having one of the most efficient seasons that a quarterback could have in college football. He was leading the country in completion percentage at one point. He was, he was just dynamite. And Utah was rolling, and they were nationally ranked and all these things. And he's being talked about in these conversations. And it wasn't until week 10 that Utah went, hey, let's do this Huntley for Heisman campaign. And they had a website, and they had all these things. And you go, too little, too late, because then it was a week and a half after that that they had lost in that Pac-12, or 2 weeks later they lose in that Pac-12 championship game, and then they lose the bowl, and everyone kind of forgets about it. And then there's the other side, Utah State, who before the season even started with Jordan Love, they talked about it. Did he end up in the national conversation? No. But you know where he ended up? As a first round draft pick in college. It matters to have that buzz around you. It matters for your program. It matters for this kid as an individual. It matters big time. And so you have to talk about it more. I wish BYU would totally just forget all their inhibitions about this thing. I know that your thing is
humility.
Yeah, but
you know who the inhibition's coming from? It's coming from
Kalani.
A higher level.
Is it
has
coming
to.
From Kalani?
I'm just as you're talking about Tyler Huntley and waiting till week 10, and you're talking about, you know, Zach Wilson.
That comes from Kyle Whittingham,
like,
right?
I don't want anyone talking about anything until, you know, and down the road. And if that's coming from these coaches, I think it's wrong. I really do. I think it's wrong. And I understand that they're young kids, and I understand that, you know, it's about winning and the program. But if you're – again, I'm going to go back to what I said, and I'm going to say this very succinctly. If you're really confident and you're really serious about your program being on a national stage, then a discussion about your players being Heisman Trophy candidates should be an everyday discussion. You shouldn't hide from it. You shouldn't say, oh, we're going to get jinxed by it. You should embrace it. You're darn right. We're going to talk about our Heisman Trophy candidate because that's who we are and that's what we do. If you're really serious about being a national program, someone who's in the discussion, then, yeah, you shouldn't kibosh this because it's that whole attitude of, well, let's play not to lose. Okay, let's not talk about this because we could get jinxed. That's baloney. You play and you prepare and you put it on the field, and whether you talk about something or you don't talk about something isn't going to have some impact on the way you play. If you're prepared and you go out and play to win, you'll win. And if you go out and play and expect to be the Heisman Trophy winner or finalist or in the discussion and play like that, then you'll be that. But if you sit here and you hide behind it and you're afraid of it, it's never going to happen. And people want coaches to go for 2 points to win the football game. They know they might lose. They know it's, you know, Indiana finally said, you know what, we're going to grow up. And we're going to become a serious discussion in the Big Ten, and we're going to go after Penn State. You know what? We're playing to win this game.
We're going to go for two. Yeah.
And look where Indiana is today. Indiana is like
they jumped into the teens. Yeah,
because
in the top
people
25.
Want people to play to win.
They want the Zach Wilsons of the world, right? They want somebody to be like head and shoulders like that, playing at a super high level, giving you something to watch. And that's exactly what you've gotten so far.
BYU has been given the biggest PR blessing they could ever imagine in Zach Wilson this year. And they got to own it.
All right, let's take the first break here. When we come back, let's talk about the schedule. You know, you heard Zach Wilson talking about that. And I want to talk about what BYU could do in the future with that schedule. Tom Holmoe's talked about before the fact that he wishes that he could make things just a little less difficult at the beginning. But sometimes you just take those teams, whatever you can get signed up for when it comes to those P5 programs. So should they schedule the easier schedule to have the attention that they've been getting? 57500 is the text line. We're going to take the break. We'll come back. More to go right here. It is right here on KSL's Unrivaled on KSL News Radio. Stay with us.
All right, welcome back to KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell, Alex Carey. It's the second segment of this amazing show. And, you know, I got to admit, Alex, I was kind of excited that the World Series was going to be on tonight. And it's on right now. The Rays, the Tampa Bay Rays. Mm-hmm.
Don't call them Devil Rays.
No, Scott.
Because it's your people down in Spanish or in Springfield.
It's a marine animal. It's a marine animal.
You call it a mammal. Remember, you call it a mammal.
Yeah. Well, most things are mammals. Anyways, the Rays are up 1-0 in the bottom of the third.
This is game six, man. I want it to go to seven.
Yes, I do. That was my whole point. I was just like, man, I've kind of enjoyed this. I hope it goes another game.
I feel bad for the Dodgers because 2017 they were ripped off. Right? They got beaten by the cheating. If Donald Trump were to name the Astros the cheating Astros, that's what they'd be back then. So they lose to the cheating Astros back in 2017, which they're not happy about. They know that that was a bad deal. And now they can win it. So I kind of want them to end up with the trophy, but I like it to go seven games either way. Because the Rays are kind of just this fun startup. So anyway, bottom line is this. Scott, we've got a lot to get through. And one of the things I wanted to talk about was still continuing in this BYU mode a little bit. We were talking about Zach Wilson tonight. He was on this show, College Football Playoff Top 25, talking about BYU, their chances, kind of where they're at. So he's getting this national attention. He talked a little bit about why the quarantine was good for him. Now he talked about how he got the COVID, Scott, during all this, and so he doesn't have to worry about that right now. Although now he has to be tested quite often because. It's been 3 months now since he's had it, so he's kind of back in the pool of people who need to be tested. But here's what he talked about with being quarantined and what that affected him like.
I always tell everybody the quarantine was actually a benefit for me. I know it was for some other guys. You know, normally we're here and we're in the full off-season strength and conditioning and all that stuff. But I was fortunate to be able to say, hey, you know, football's canceled, so I'm going to hop in the car or get on a flight and go out to California. And there was times I sit out there for a couple of weeks in a row when normally, you know, I don't have that opportunity. And so I was able to take my training level and really focus on my technique and all that kind of stuff while, you know, still being able to get the strength and conditioning part of football in.
So basically he was a pro.
I mean, right.
Really, he's kind of not limited with those constraints. And he's fortunate. I mean, it sounds like he comes from – a family situation where he can afford to do those kinds of, you know, not everyone can do that. I mean, that's really nice.
No, but they are, and they're like investing in the fact that he really could have that NFL
really good
future.
Ones, then we'll have a tough decision to make. I don't see a platoon situation.
That's a familiar voice.
It is. It'll be coming up in a little bit. But I'm just – but with Zach Wilson, this is a guy who they feel like he's going to be an NFL guy. And I'm going to be honest, I think that you and I kind of were like, eh, maybe, it's a 50-50 shot. And now you look at it and you go, well, it's all about the market, whether or not, you know.
Can I just tell you, I don't care.
People believe it.
I don't care if he is or he isn't. You know what I'm impressed with? Is he believes it. And he believes it to the point where he's doing everything within his power to make it happen. He lives for football. And that's most of the battle. When you have someone who says, you know what? I want to be talked about the Heisman Trophy. I want to be the guy on third down. I want people to talk about me. I want to be the center of the universe, and I believe I'm that guy. And it's that whole attitude of playing to win. I remember when Zach was a freshman, and I mentioned this on our show. And I watched him in spring football practice. And of all the quarterbacks, he was the only guy that was throwing the ball down the field. Everyone else was like, check down Charlie, you know, throwing it to the secondary receivers, the backs out of the backfield, your outlet, your safety valve, whatever you want. And Zach Wilson was like, forget that. I'm throwing the ball down the field. Let's go. I want to go. And I was really impressed with that, because you don't see many freshmen who have that, like, you know, willingness or confidence to say, all right, I'm going to go for it here. And he was a guy who was still in high school. And so I've always liked his attitude, and I think it's one that, you know, more people should, if they haven't, embrace.
I think that one of the things that we've looked at throughout all this process, and we've watched BYU in this, and every week we've said, okay, what's the balance here? Because you're playing a team, again, this week, if you look at the line for this week against Western Kentucky, guess what? It's over four touchdowns again. And there's the part of you that goes, and certainly the naysayer will go, yeah, BYU, whatever, man. You're playing these garbage teams, and Zach Wilson's putting up these big numbers against garbage teams. And my thing about this is, and we hear this all the time when people are asked about that, Zach Wilson can only throw touchdowns against the teams that are in front of him. And those are the teams that are in front of him. There were no teams in front of them at one point scheduling-wise. And so BYU said, we're going to go out and we're going to get these teams. These are the teams we were able to get. And you know what's happening? No one else seems to be as critical about this on the national level than the people here locally, right? We kind of all look and go, I don't know if BYU is going to be there. But here's the deal. In 2 weeks, when they go up to Boise, and Boise will be ranked after this weekend, I guarantee it, they need Boise to win as many games as they can this year. But BYU's never won up on the turf up there, Boise City.
You know
the
question what that means, though? You know what that means?
What?
The percentages are just that it's time they should
it's
win.
It's time them. They should do it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just how it
well,
is.
Well, at some
it's
point,
just,
they
that to me never bothers me. I know. It never bothers me. Oh, we've never
well,
won here.
It used to be
well,
they'd never
to
beaten.
Win now, then.
It used to be just that they'd never beaten Boise State. And then it was, okay, they beat them now three times down here in Provo, and then they go, well, we've never won up there at Boise State. But they haven't played that many games in comparison to, you know, other series that they've had across the things. So the question is this, and this is part of our troll poll question. One of our troll poll questions of the day is, should BYU move to a more favorable or what we could say is an easier scheduling philosophy to have more seasons like the 2020 year?
Can I help the voters out?
So there's – let me give you the options.
Okay.
No, bring on the P5s. So think kind of what we've had over the last few years and what would have been this year. Mix it up is the first, is the second one, and keep it easy for max wins. That's the third one. So, what's your suggestion? Where should we?
Okay, I'm going to tell you what they should do, and then you tell me where it
okay.
falls.
All right,
all right. Think of teams like Cincinnati. Think of teams like Boise State. Think of teams, you know, in past like Memphis, UCF. No one, their schedules weren't full of Power Five teams. They just weren't. They maybe had one. I don't even know if a lot of them even have any on their schedule. Okay, so. But they're in the discussion, and really, the fact that BYU wins, it outweighs everything. And not only are they winning this year against those teams like Zach mentioned earlier about, well, there are some teams we probably should have beat that we lost to, And what's happening this year is BYU is not only beating them, but they're beating them the way you would think a really good football team should, and that's decisively. You know, it's not close. Right. It's not like, oh, wow, we eked that one out, you know, 6-3.
They're supposed to win
every
game.
They're supposed to win, and they win, and they win in a consistent manner like he's talking about, right? So that's all people care about. They don't care. And I mean, a team like Alabama doesn't have – as hard a schedule, they don't. Even though they play in the SEC, it's brutally hard what they have. So play one or two Power Five teams.
Maybe just throw out this. In terms of feelings, okay? Because we've talked about, well, what looks better? You know, going 3-2 against a bunch of Power Five teams, maybe a really big signature win in there, or going 6-0 where they're at now and having the attention that they do. I want BYU fans to really search their feelings here. How did you feel after the
Think if they had Army.
Well, right I know, now. But think of it. But I mean, just think about those seasons that they, like the year they beat Tennessee, and then the week right after they beat USC at home in overtime. BYU fans stormed the field. There was no better feeling, right? Except for it comes crashing right down the next week when they get blown out by UW right at home, and then they lose to Toledo on the road, and so then they're 2-3. And you go, yeah, and those two wins were Tennessee and USC, and then the other three losses are Utah, Toledo, and Washington. And you go, yeah, those two, Washington and Utah, you're supposed to lose those games. And people start doing the whole, well, you're supposed to lose those games. I guess we were supposed to be 2-3 anyway. It's like, no, search your feelings on this. You would much rather every week like to have the discussion of, hey, they're 6-0, where can they get, what's the highest they can get to this year? That's the one. I'm not saying keep it as easy as you can for max wins, but I'm saying don't overblow everything with the Power Five conversation. Schedule Utah, schedule Michigan State, and then after that, basically mirror a G5 conference.
Right.
And that's it.
A glorified Mountain West conference.
That's the mix it up schedule, I think.
No question.
And about 55% of the people have that one there. Some people, 15% say, keep it easy so we can have this. 31% say, bring on all the P5s you can. All right, we'll take the break here. We'll come back. We've got some sound to play for you from Kyle Whittingham and his decision on the quarterbacks at Utah. And that's coming soon. When will it happen? Stay with us right here on KSL's Unrivaled.
KSL's Unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
Okay, everybody, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Coming up in just a little while, we're going to have our MVPs, where we, of course, award fake awards to real people. And today's a special one because the Pac-12 found a partner that they don't want to part with for a long time. Very excited about it, Scott, and we'll get to that in just a little while. Let me see here. So let's switch gears. We spend a lot of time. Well, I'm going to say, look, people ask me all the time. They're like, is Scott just one of those Utah homers? And the answer is yes. But he also has a brain between his ears, and he goes, look, he knows exactly. You know exactly what you see when you see Zach Wilson. It's like, this is a darn good football player, and they're winning games, and he's getting attention. That's exactly what. That's the only thing you're going to ask for a kid who wants to be in the NFL, who wants to be effective, who wants to show people at the next level. He's on TV every week. He's absolutely soaking it up and doing well with that pressure. And so I know we talked a lot about BYU. We've got some Utah to get to because we're a couple weeks away from Utah kicking off against Arizona.
We're still a couple weeks.
I love how you're kind of still bitter about it. Every day we get on it, I start talking.
No, let's
to
just
Scott
start.
About
let's just start with the NBA. Let's start like Christmas
just
Day.
Just go right.
Just have one game.
You know what?
And
one game,
it right
and it's just. Yeah. But it's a nice game. It's like a really good one with a Pac-12 opponent. It'll be really great. So we're going to talk a little bit about this quarterback situation. Kyle Whittingham discussed whether or not there would be a drop dead date, so to speak, on this quarterback competition. I don't know. I mean, the thing is
that date is dropped and dead. They already know who their starting quarterback
okay,
is.
Okay, so read between the lines, whatever you want. So we'll have Scott interpret it after you hear what Coach Witt has to say about the quarterback competition.
We have two really good ones, then we'll have a tough decision to make. I don't see a platoon situation, so we're just going to have to see how it plays out. We need to get it down to one, and that most likely will be in place Monday of next week. If we feel we need a few more days to look at them both on equal footing, then we'll do that. But I would say no later than Wednesday or Thursday, that'd be the drop dead.
So looking at them both,
whatever.
Scott. Looking
you
at
know,
both,
you know
Scott.
How they make these decisions? They do. It's the potato theory. One potato, two potato, three potato. That's how they do this.
I love the idea of.
That's all they do.
You know, and Coach Whittingham is he's brilliant and he's super smart, but he's also he's not very nice about releasing any information. So when it comes down to it, he goes, "We'd really love to get down to one quarterback. That's our goal." It's like, okay, you're not going to line up. You're not going to line up in double shotgun. The old formation, the old tried.
Hey, you know what? The New Orleans Saints do it. They get Taysom Hill and Drew Brees in. Might as well. You know what?
To have them both right there making the calls. They're both kind of clapping their hands together. To make the call of the line. That'd be amazing.
I know this is an important decision, and I know Utah fans are extremely interested in who that guy is. But I have to tell you, I was going through this last season. In fact, it was while I was in the radio booth and I was preparing for a game and I was just going over the roster and all the players who played, all the returning players the next year.
Right.
And I was like, because Utah had such a heavily laden senior class. And you're just like, oh, the cupboards are going to be bare next year. And as I looked through it, I'm like, wait a minute. There's still a lot of really good players that are going to come back here, whether they're – you know, like on offense, most of the players are returning. But on defense, there are a lot of players who have played. I mean, there's a couple of fresh faces. And when I say fresh, I mean freshman faces that are extremely talented that are going to step in. But, you know, Jalen Johnson did that a few years ago and did well. But for the most part, a lot of these guys on defense have played some. And it's not just played. You know, they actually were good. They had some impact. You could see that they were guys that could play. And so I just remember thinking to myself, and I know Utah's going to be replacing a lot next year, but they're still going to be a really good football team. And of course the quarterback's going to matter, but you know how much he really matters, Alex? He matters as much as the people around him. Really good offensive line, really deep and talented receiving core. Same thing with the tight ends. I mean, Utah might have some of the, you know, they could be comparable, if not, well, they're better than BYU at tight end now without Bushman. And they might have been even had Bushman still been there, because Keithy's a legitimate threat. He just is. And then the running back situation's very deep, and a lot of these guys played last year at running back. So Utah is in a really, really good situation, whoever the quarterback is, and whenever they start to play. I mean, I just want them to play to just see how good this team actually is.
I wonder if there's a – you know, I look at where Utah is right now. They're chomping at the bit to get playing, and they're excited about playing, and yet they have to have these same the fall camp talk is happening at the end of October for them, right? The end of camp, like, well, we'll see. You know, we have a lot of guys competing. You know, we're just out there working hard. It's like all the same stuff you hear, and we're used to being done with it by now. There should have been games being played, and usually at this point we wouldn't have to deal with this, but here we are. Kyle Whittingham talking about his offense, and of course they know they have to replace a lot on defense. But our other troll poll question of the night, if you go to our KSL Unrivaled Twitter page, has to do with the Utah offense. Will the Utah offense be better than its defense in 2020 so far? And I'm going to go ahead and throw a vote for the defense still being better, just because it's a Kyle Whittingham, it's a defensive-minded coach.
Leopard never loses his spot.
So I'm going to go, and it's about 50-50 right now. So the offense just has the edge there, but here's what he has to say. Here's what Coach Witt has to say about his offense right now in terms of progression.
The offense is further ahead than the defense. It was apparent in the scrimmage last week. It was very apparent in practice yesterday. We had two live sessions, about 20 snaps each, so about 40 snaps total of live work yesterday, which the offense definitely got the best of things. And I would say that's to be expected. We got a lot of returning starters on offense.
Don't you feel like that's a little bit of a wake-up call, too? Like, you know your defense is hearing this, and you're just embarrassing them so they'll wake up a little bit. You're kind of a big fan of that. Like, hey, using the media to go, yeah, our defense is terrible right now. Our offense way ahead. Defense doesn't know what they're doing. They got beat up big time in the scrimmage and in practice yesterday.
I mean, that happens a lot. But I don't know that this is that case simply because excuse me. Simply because this defense has a lot of young players in it, and they're seeing things at a speed and also scheme wise that they may not be used to coming. I mean, some of them right out of high school. So doesn't surprise me a little bit. What I do like in his comment is, and I've mentioned this before, you don't have a lot of reps. And so you want in those reps you get in practice, you want those to be as high a speed and against the best talent you can possibly play against. So they're doing a lot of scrimmaging. They're practicing a lot of ones versus ones. So both sides of the ball are getting really good reps. And they're trying to kind of crunch a lot of things in a short period of time because of the lack of spring football. And so it's not just that they're getting reps. You know, there's not like the scout teams out there showing the defense what to do. It's like the ones are going against the ones, and they're getting really, really good reps. And so to me, that's actually a good sign. And it will help Utah kind of come out of the gates fast.
Let's take the break here. We'll come back. We've got our MVPs next. You don't want to miss it. The newest partnership with the Pac-12 could be a massive boon for this conference. And it's just in so much need to recoup some funds. And, boy, they need a partnership like this. You want to stick around for this. Stay right here. It is KSL's Unrivaled, KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome back to KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell, Alex Carey. Alex, do you know what Halloween means?
Oh, boy. here comes our resident warlock, Scott Mitchell.
I'm just asking, do you know?
No, I just...
What do you mean you don't know?
I mean...
I would think that Halloween would be like your favorite holiday.
No.
Or one of them.
I don't know. What is it? Is there a Greek meaning to the word?
So it's All Hallows Eve.
Yeah. Yes. Okay.
So it just means that it's celebrating the end of the summer and the beginning of fall.
Mm.
Or yes, and so apparently it's the one night where
we used to love the
all of the I guess the spirits are trying to I guess go to bed. I don't know. Something
sounds like you got this thing really nailed down.
Of course,
you got the Wikipedia article open right in front of you there. Good job,
Britannia. Well, it's not Wikipedia. No, I was just curious. Like,
the old paper encyclopedia.
Why do we carve pumpkins?
It's all pagan stuff.
Yeah.
It's something about devil worship. It's something that you guys down in Springville know all about.
To scare away the evil spirits.
Hey, I'm all interested. This
who
KSL
are stuck
5.
Between heaven
did
and
you
hell.
See
That's
this?
All.
Did you see this KSL 5 TV story that Andrew Adams is going to be doing?
No.
About the Skinwalker Ranch down in southern Utah?
Oh, it's not in southern Utah.
Where is
it? It's actually in eastern Utah on your
okay.
way to Vernal.
Well, you know
and
what?
By the way, I have watched the documentary on it.
First of all, I'm out. When you say the word Skinwalker, I'm out.
You know what the Skinwalkers are, don't you?
Yes, and that's why I'm out.
Nah.
That's why you always have the... Scott, it's the shape-shifting stuff I'm not a fan of. Come on.
This I don't know what that means.
This is the same reason your mom told you not to play with the Ouija board when you were
a
kid.
Oh, I don't mess with that kind of stuff.
See, this is what the Skinwalker Ranch is.
Well, it's kind of creepy.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm out. I'm not going to that stuff. All right. Scotty Mitchell, we've got
there's a documentary on Netflix.
I'm not going to look it up.
You
not
need to watch it. Yeah.
Like, I'm going to look it up. First of all, my wife never watches that stuff anyway, so I'd have to watch it by myself. And I'm not doing it.
Come over to my house. You can watch
no.
it here.
Oh. You going to bring popcorn?
Yeah,
all right, popcorn. All right. I'm there then. So here's the deal. We're going to kick off the next portion of the show. It's a very important part of the show every night. We give out fake awards to real people. So we're out with MVPs. Let's get right to it.
The unrivaled MVP. Scott and Alex crowned tonight's most valuable player.
According to Alex.
Uh-huh.
According to Scott. Most valuable player.
All right,
okay, look,
so,
can I start? Let me start and get mine out of the way, because I know yours is a big deal, and it is, and it should be. It's really funny. And so I'm going to give you the floor, but before I do.
What's yours? Yeah, I want
to my MVP tonight, and I think this is the coolest thing in the world, so I'm really happy and quite frankly honored that this is my MVP. College Game Day, right, goes around the country, and they pick the hot spots to do their show from. They are going to do College Game Day from Augusta National before the third round
what?
Coverage
they're gonna,
of
wait,
the
wait.
Masters. Yes.
Augusta National is going to let them do
they partner
college
together,
game
and
day?
They're excited about it. Yeah,
wow.
there are no patrons
right,
at the Masters this year.
Yeah.
So it was just it was kind of a creative way to give fans some interaction with college football. I mean, the Masters has never been played in the fall. It's never been played without fans. And they've basically eliminated the par 3 competition, which will be good for our resident NFL or NFL golfer, PGA golfer Tony Finau.
Tony
Finau, so he won't break his ankle again. But
I think
they're
awesome.
Setting it up. Yes, on the
par
3 course.
They kind of make it feel like the rest of because Augusta feels like a very inaccessible place as it is.
Well, and a little bit. I think what you're saying is they're snobby.
Yeah, very snobby, and they do the thing where it's like, yeah, we'll let you watch the golf tournament from here. That's all you're going to be able to do. This feels like they're kind of letting their hair down a little bit.
Well, they're embracing the fact. I mean, look.
It's already in November, so it's a super weird thing. And
what are people watching on Saturday, Alex?
College football.
Right. And so they're trying to draw in an audience and bring attention to the Masters and embracing the fact that we're in the fall. We know it's football, but we want you to tune in.
I'm actually, honestly, this is one of those things that I am really glad that the Masters is going to be happening in the middle of the fall. Because it's just another thing. It's like, you know, it was like everything that's added that we got that we had missed out on earlier in the year, it's a bonus, right? Everything's just a bonus. Any extra blessing of extra sports is exactly that. It's just you going, okay, we get to do extra things this year. That's a fun thing. It's a blessing to be able to do it. So I'm glad they're doing it. I think it's awesome they're going to have College Game Day. But they won't let like Lee Corso wear a giant like mascot outfit on the grounds of the Masters.
Well, of course they will.
Oof.
Yeah.
See,
I mean, they may not let Lee Corso in to begin with.
Yeah.
No, you're too much of a lightning rod for this place.
I want to roll mine out here.
You got to do yours.
I got a weird email today, and at first I thought I was being punked.
Right.
And in fact, I totally dismissed it until Jeremy, our producer, brought it up. And I said, you've got to be kidding me. Because the email said, Pac-12 and Pacific Seafood announced a multi-year partnership. And I thought, what does that even mean? And then I start to get into it. And they have made Pacific Seafood. Pacific Seafood is going to be the official meat and seafood provider of the Pac-12. Pacific Seafood is going to be the official meat and seafood of the Pacific 12. They, of course, own and operate one of our favorite brands, Skipper's.
Oh!
Scott, Skipper's is now the official place for you to eat as a member of the Pac-12. Are you excited about that?
Ooh, that sounds good, actually.
I'm trying to find a silver lining in this.
Where is Skipper's?
Okay.
Is there a Skipper's location?
Now, this is a real problem because the answer is...
That actually sounds
good. When was the last time? Okay. I'm sure everybody says they like Skipper's until you're asked when the last time you went to Skipper's was. And it's 1991.
You know what's
it's
crazy?
It's probably the last time
I remember the last time I went. And I was like...
Yeah, that's not good because...
No, it had to have been at least 6 years ago.
It was in
Orem, and I just drove by it. And I was like, oh, yeah. And I'm like, and when you just mentioned it, I'm like, why don't I do this more often? Why I would love to go to Skipper's and yeah, fish and chips, come on, it's amazing. Everyone loves that.
So Skipper's Seafood and Chowder House, owned by their parent company, of course, that is the Pacific. It's Pacific Seafood. Everyone should feel very excited about this because now the relationship that the Pac-12 has had, you thought maybe you'd be dwelling in the basement, but the classy type of relationship that you can put together with Pacific Seafood and Skipper's restaurants, you'll be able to enjoy the rest of your lives. And so I think it's great, too, because they've actually already put together a campaign and some specials for people like you, Scott, who are looking to enjoy more Skipper's.
At Skipper's Seafood, we're frying up something amazing these days. Along with our signature chowders and fish and chips platters, we've cooked up an amazing partnership with the Pacific 12 Conference. Skipper's is now the official fried fish and tartar sauce provider of the Pac-12. That's why at Skipper's this next month, as football gets started up again, come on down and get the Commissioner's Cajun Fry. The Larry Scott Special features three pieces of fried, spicy, tender, hard-to-swallow pieces of haddock caught right here in the cold Pacific Ocean. Add fries and a drink for the exceptionally low price of $538.99. The price is as out of touch as the commissioner himself. Ask for the Brewing Bowl, a steamy bowl of totally empty calories you could expected so much more out of. Or try the Trojan Fish Taco, overpriced and overrated for the past 50 years. That's our promise to you. It's a staple here at your home of the Pac-12. Good cooking, Skipper's Fish House.
The Trojan Taco.
Hey, listen, It's a popular dish there.
Hey, I looked up the locations.
Yeah, okay, what do you have?
They got three locations in Utah.
No, Murray, they don't.
Yes, Murray, Sandy, and Norham.
Scott, I hate to break this to you. Those are all old links. None of those stores are still open.
What?
I'm almost certain that they're not open.
No way.
Yeah, I don't think I don't think Skipper's is open.
Oh, man. Are you kidding? Because I was actually going to go after the show.
Oh, boy.
Going to go get Skipper's. Guess I'm going to skip Skipper's.
Yeah. Listen, honestly, if you had to – there are so many people who are like, I love Skipper's. Right now they're thinking that. And then they have to question their real loyalty to Skipper's because they act like they're a great fan of it, but they haven't been for 31 years.
I'll tell you another one's Long John Silver's. That's a good one, too. See, I haven't been there either.
It's the same same people who put together, you know, these deals are the ones who are making decisions on when to play football or not. All right. Taking the break here. We've got more to go on KSL's Unrivaled. Stay with us. Second hour next.
KSL's Unrivaled. The teams you live for. The sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Thanks for being with us. Thanks for hanging out. Look, when we were talking about some of the things, you know, the apprehensions a BYU fan might have about trying to prop up somebody who could be a Heisman hopeful, this one talks about this text reaches out and makes a good point, and it speaks to you, Scott Mitchell, as the local skeptic. Last time BYU had a Heisman hopeful and talked about him, Taysom ended up with a season-ending injury. Ah, so you can respect that, Scott, the old, like, baseball move of we don't talk about it because, you know, someone's pitching a perfect game. You don't talk about it, right? Isn't that kind of the idea?
If it's baseball. I mean, baseball has a bunch of weird, dumb, unwritten rules anyways.
Football, you just got to take advantage of it.
Look, I'm a creature of routine, and I certainly had, you know, my superstitions as a player. But I also was in this routine that helped me to play at a level that I could compete every week. But I also was someone who believed that you have to embrace it where you are and who you are. And you can't walk away from or you can't hide from, you know, if you want to be a great player, you have to see yourself and be comfortable in that discussion as a great player. I mean, you're just never going to get away from some of those discussions, and it's just a whole lot easier to embrace it as opposed to getting away from it. So I get the whole superstition thing to a point, but I think you need to own who you are and be comfortable with it.
I just wanted to address that whole situation about people feeling like, well, that's why we don't talk about it, but – we're going to kick off the next portion of the show, as we always
I don't
do.
Like that.
It's the 8:05 cut right here on KSL's Unrivaled. Let's just jump right in here, man.
The cut at 8:05. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
All right, so when it comes to the NFL, you have a lot of haves and have-nots, and this is one of those times of year too that you really have. It's gut check time for these teams, because in some of them they're gonna check their gut and they're just gonna walk right back into the locker room and sit down and pout. And so we're not only going to have a cut here. We're gonna use our NFL insider Scott Mitchell. It's our Ask Scott Anything segment, and you know what? You can also send a text in 57500. You can ask Scott anything. Let's do it.
ASA. Ask Scott Anything. Insider questions, candid answers, nothing's off limits. Just don't make it awkward. It's Ask Scott Anything.
Scott, I'm going to start off with an awkward question because that's kind of how we like to start things. When you played in the NFL, did you ever have to have a serious discussion with a teammate about how disgusting they were in the locker room?
Like about how disgusting they were?
Right, right, right. Like
me personally?
Just in general, did the team have a little come with Jesus talk with some guys? There was
a situation, yes.
What happened?
It was a rookie offensive lineman who would never shower.
Oh, boy.
And what happens is you're in an NFL locker room for an entire day.
I love See, what happens is the human body is very...
So what happens is usually most guys will come in the morning early and work out. And they work out hard, and so you sweat.
Oh, really? But
and then you go to a meeting, and you're in close quarters because there's a team meeting.
Yes.
And usually you sit next to your position group. It's almost 100% you sit with your position group. So then you have... your position meetings, and it's usually in some kind of meeting room, which is always much smaller than it should be. So you're in these close quarters, and then you go out on the field and you have a walkthrough, right? And so even though it's a walkthrough, you still sweat.
Yeah, it's a stink through is what it is.
It is, okay? So now you've had two opportunities throughout the day to get stinky.
Right.
And then you go to practice. And then after practice, you watch film. You don't just go to practice and go home.
These sound like the worst days ever, by the way.
Well, they're brutal days. Under the best of circumstances, it's a long grinding day, a long grinding week, and quite frankly, a long grinding season.
A long grinding, disgustingly stinky.
So this guy would not shower. And they're like, Pigpen, you have
And he
refused.
Wow.
He absolutely refused.
He dug
refused.
In, huh? Hmm.
Yeah, so they said, well, let's explain something to you. And I'm sure, you know, today that would probably be normal, right? You know, the guy doesn't want to shower. Oh, well, you know, this is a generation. At the time, they said, no, we're gonna make sure you shower.
Oh, wow.
And they taped him up, and they showered him with his clothes on.
That's a rookie situation, too. You can do that. That's a little bit of hazing.
I'd never seen a situation where a guy would not shower.
That is disgusting.
Yeah, it was kind of like, dude, it's
well, you know, it's funny to like explain to your kids. So, after practice, do you guys go in and shower? And it's like, no, we go and get in our cars and go home. It's like, oh.
Oh, I was shocked when I started coaching high school football.
Was it like that already when you were coaching in the late 2000s?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
It was just 100%.
But I actually, after a while, said, you know what? I get it. I understand why you don't. And so I never – at first, I just was like, this is really strange. But they go to school, and they go to practice. And after practice, they go home.
They
so
go
it's
home.
Like, I'll just go home and take a shower at home.
Sense, yeah. Okay. Scott, here's the next thing I want to ask you about. You've been on teams that have had mixed success in the NFL.
Right.
Played for the Dolphins and won a lot of games. Not every year, but, you know, won a lot. You know, had a Hall of Fame quarterback that was running things. And then when you took over, you guys still won. And when you went to the Lions, you guys went to the playoffs. You guys, I think, were the last team to go to the playoffs for the Lions. But you also played for some teams that were stinkville, that did not take showers at the end of practice. And I want to know when the motivation, how hard it is to keep that motivation going when the season looks all but lost. Because what's weird is the NFC East has so many terrible teams that all those teams still have a chance.
Right.
But then there are divisions.
Normally they wouldn't.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I look at like the most glaring example right now to me is in the NFC South, and it's the Atlanta Falcons. They're 0-7.
Right. Or the Jets.
Or the Jets. Yeah. And those guys have to show up to practice. Well, the day off's tomorrow, right? But they had to show up to – or no, it was today.
Today.
But they had to show up to practice on Monday and even tomorrow – and they have to put their stuff on, and they know that they're not going to the playoffs, Scott. How on earth do you stay motivated in an NFL season? In this
situation? Well, I kind of explained to you the routine and schedule of the day, and it's a long day. And Monday's a long day. Of course, Tuesday's off, but it's not really off. Even if you're a quarterback, Tuesday is not off. Tuesday is off, but Tuesday night is not off.
Tuesday night, okay.
No, and you start getting the game plan and – but most guys will do something even on their day off. And so Wednesday's a big day. Thursday's a big day. Friday is your lightest day, but still it's a pretty grinding day. And then Saturday, you're either going to travel, but you're going to end up in a hotel and you're going to have meetings in the morning and you're going to have meetings in the evening, even the day before a football game. So the schedule is a grind in the best of circumstances. And when you're losing, you still have to go through all of that. You can't just show up, get off the bus, and boom, you're playing. Or you're going to get your lunch eaten. And even if you're a bad team, you're still going to get your lunch eaten. But you still go through the process of preparing yourself, which is hard. And it's really hard because you kind of think and hope that you're going to play. And imagine doing that for 2 months. And I'm just – it's mind-numbing. It's so mind-numbing. When your team is winning and things are great, you cannot wait to get to the game. You cannot wait for, you know, practice. You're excited about everything, and everything goes lightning fast. When you're winning, the season just flies by. When you're losing, it's like every practice can't end soon enough. Every day can't, and it really starts weighing in on your mind. And you look at the Dallas Cowboys.
How are they supposed to keep? But like as an organization, what do? Because there's also this weird thing that happens in college. It's kind of like, you know, we're at a school here, and so we can at least hide behind the fact that you got some student things. You got to, hey, go to your classes, take your test, blah, blah, blah. This is like, hey, you guys, we're all a bunch of millionaires in this room, and we've failed, and we're not even halfway through the season.
So here's how you deal with it, okay? No matter what, no matter how well or how poorly your team plays, you're a professional, and you're going to be graded, and you're either going to stick around or you're not. Team success doesn't necessarily equate to whether you're there or whether they go in a different direction. Most often, it's a coach. So if your coach is getting fired, you want to make sure that you keep in a good position with that coach, because guess what? He may be your coach down the road again, and that happens often. So if you're with a coach, you know, like Dallas, like these players are throwing these coaches under the bus, and it's not a good move. And you trust me, I've thrown a coach under the bus and it didn't work out. but so you're not only playing for the coach that's there who could be your coach in the future, you're also playing for the new coach who's going to come in because your team's so bad. And you don't want to be a guy when he looks at the film and he reviews all of what he has, he goes, we got to get rid of that guy and get rid of him in a hurry. And so you're a professional. It's your job. You do it regardless of your record. We'll and that's how you kind of stay in the focus.
That was
the only way. Actually.
That was Ask Scott Anything. You can tell by the fire behind his voice that he's been in some of those tough locker room situations.
Unfortunately.
It's
not many, but I've been there.
Let's take the break here. We'll come back. Jeremiah Jensen from KSL5 Television is going to join us. I have an update from the Game 6 of the World Series that's going on right now as well between the Dodgers and the Rays. Stay with us. It's KSL News Radio. It's KSL's Unrivaled.
Hi, welcome back to KSL's Unrivaled. I'm Scott Mitchell. The guy on the other end is Alex Curry. And if you like our show, and if you've missed part of it, or even if you haven't, you can download the KSL Sports app, catch our show, and so much more. It's simple, it's free, and it's available to you, so you can have access to us and all of KSL Sports anytime you want.
You know, the name, image, likeness thing in college football, if I may, for just one second, because I'm watching TV and in the studio here and barely listening to Scott as he brought us back from the intro, because I'm watching the World Series. Sorry, Scott. No, I'm just kidding.
Paying attention to your co-host?
No, Scott.
Like this is new. Like this is something that just like happens every 10 minutes. Are you kidding?
But I know you'd appreciate this too, Scott, because you see the irony in this.
I know what you're going to talk about.
The guy who, because you were watching the same commercial now, the guy who says these players don't deserve a penny and blah, blah, blah. Nick Saban, at least you could turn on some acting chops for 2 seconds, coach. Could you at least, hey, you know I don't want to play favorites. Huh? Like, his freaking Aflac commercial, the guy makes $9 million a year already. And then he tells these kids, you can't earn a dollar. Listen, you're in college. You're a student athlete. Anyway, I'm going to go over here, act terribly in this insurance commercial that I'm going to get another $1 million for, and I'm going to wear a blue jacket. Makes no sense. Absolutely no sense, because there's a guy who wears
it. It's the Aflac jacket.
It doesn't matter because the guy
goes, it doesn't matter because
hey, coach, can I get one of those jackets? Hey, you know, I don't want to play favorites over here. I'm like, can't they? No one cares about Nick Saban. It's Nick Saban. Gosh, I just love that guy. He's magnetic. He does so much for me. I mean, I can't stand when these guys tell these kids to their face,
Alex,
you're not worth anything.
Let me
go over and do this dumb Aflac commercial.
You've never lived in the South. I know you've lived in Texas, but I'm talking, it's just like NASCAR. The fans are very loyal to the brand.
Oh, my gosh.
And the SEC fans, they're loyal to the brand. I'm just telling you.
I can't play favorites. Like, how many takes did it go? They go, after about 15 takes of him sounding the exact same, the director went, I know. I think we got it.
No,
and they moved
Nick Saban
on.
Told the director, "We're done."
Oh, yeah.
You got 5 minutes of my time, and I'm out of here.
Right. I gave you five. We're done.
I said I didn't want any of these extras looking me in the face. Didn't I tell you that? The other man in the studio with me is Jeremiah Jetson from KSL5
Hello.
Television. We're watching the World Series here, Game 6. Where's this World Series going to go down in history, Jeremiah, when it comes down to, I mean, where are baseball enthusiasts putting this one? Because it's hard to get into any offseason. You know, basketball kind of proved like, hey, we love they're doing this bubble thing. By the end, we were like, can we just put this thing out of its misery? I don't feel as much that way about the World Series just because it's the Fall Classic.
Yeah, and it's a good series, and it's competitive, and you got star power involved in it too. But I just, you know, baseball's in a weird place right now, Alex. It's just the people that, you know, we've been with baseball for a long time, I think are frustrated with the way things are. Young people aren't attracted to the game anymore like they used to be. It's not as accessible when you're young. To be honest with you, I know because I've got a son that plays baseball. I know how expensive it is to play baseball. There's just a lot of things that and the way that baseball handled everything during the pandemic was just really off-putting too. The fact that they were able to put together a 60-game regular season in this postseason is impressive, but, man, they just went through all these they kind of put on a show of what not to do in these situations. So it has been a good series, though, and it's a good way to end the season and make us forget just how bumbling and stumbling the commissioner and those who run Major League Baseball were to start this thing off.
You know, you talk about the accessibility of it, and you mentioned your young son. It is hard. It is a hard process to go through with kids to get them excited about baseball because it's boring.
It's fair.
It's boring when you're a young kid. And I went through this with my son who had talent. I mean, he could play, and he's like, it's and I coached these little teams, and the kids are like, when is this over? When can we go get ice cream? When, you know, because there's the skill development takes a reasonable amount of time to learn how to catch a ball and throw it and hit it. And when you're young, most of the kids can't hit, and you just sit there, and it's so boring. They're sitting in the outfield. Kids go, we're playing like video games that are so much more exciting and fun, and you get that instant feedback, and it's like this baseball thing is, you know, there's like a delayed gratification from doing this, and we just don't want that. We want excitement now.
I wonder, too, if this is one of those things where, you know, I can't tell if baseball is hanging on by a thread, or if
well, two seam fastball is kind of a little bit more than a thread,
or if it's going to end up making another comeback. You know, after the 94 strike, when we kind of all broke up with baseball initially,
that's when I did.
Yeah, as a 13-year-old, I remember thinking to myself, 14-year-old, I was going, this is lame. I did like the fact that I could go see some scabs play for. I would go to the ballpark at Arlington, and it was the first season of the stadium. For $1, we could get into the stadium to watch the game.
Wow.
And we'd go and watch these scabs play, and it was middle of the day. We'd go across the street to the Wet n' Wild afterward and go, it was a full day, man. And we didn't care, but at the same time, it was like, when's good baseball going to come back? We knew it was not good. And it felt weird that the Expos were having an amazing season and got ripped short, you know. And so we went away from it. And then 95 came around. They had an amazing playoffs that got people back into it again, and we came back to baseball.
Well, and Sammy and Mark McGwire.
Yes, in the late 90s.
But then it turned out to all be a fraud.
Right.
So then we lost people. The steroid era killed people. A lot of older people, like they bailed on baseball because of the steroid era.
You feel like you got punked. You really do.
And then the cheater from the Astros and the Red Sox, it became another thing.
Like the guy who's hit the most home runs in Major League Baseball history will never get in the Hall of Fame because we know he cheated.
Yeah, and others that are right behind him.
The biggest record in the game.
Yes.
Is fraudulent.
Yeah.
It doesn't sit well.
I don't know if it'll ever end up making that comeback, but
I'll tell you what, baseball's doing well financially, though.
Yeah,
it's becoming more of a regional sport. Hockey.
Did they sign a big deal with a seafood conglomerate?
I don't know if they were that big.
That kind of money.
I don't know if they're that big.
Why is baseball financially in a good place? I mean, is it
because they play 162 games?
I mean, look what they're paying the athletes. People are still going to the games.
But is it like television? Is it
yes?
Is it the gate receipts?
I mean, both.
Yeah.
There's places where obviously those gates are down, but I mean, look, Dodger Stadium still. I went to a game in summer 2019. Angels Dodgers. The place was full.
All of these
places. You get
in the middle of the week.
Look, there's a lot of Red Sox fans, a lot of Yankees fans. And some of these new teams, like the Washington Nationals, have a good fan base. The Astros, you know, they've been around a while, and even though they've cheated, they do have that good fan base. And then, of course, You know, so there are teams that, and even in the Midwest, Kansas City and St. Louis and
it's huge.
And
still,
of course, you got the Cubs. You know, and it's not just with
some
of these
destinations.
Teams,
those are destinations for people. They end up becoming tourist attractions. You go to Yankee
Wrigley Field is a tourist attraction.
Wrigley Field, yeah. Yankee Stadium, Fenway Park, and Dodger Stadium. Those are all places that people go to go. I'm going to Los Angeles. We're going to go to a Dodgers game. And so they'll always be full. Those places will always be sold out. The teams that struggle, and interestingly enough, we were just talking about these small teams in these mid-markets. The Rays can put together a good baseball. Here's the thing that's great about baseball. The only thing that keeps it afloat is the farm system allows teams to be able to find talent to be able to make the game, to make some parity, right, among these absurd numbers of dollars that are being paid to the biggest clubs versus the smallest clubs. And I think that other sports can learn from this where they go, hey, listen, we can have a massive salary cap and keep it even there, but you know what we could do out of college football? We could make a real farm system, so to speak, like a real smaller developmental leagues where we can make the football even better and we can pay guys a little bit. Jeremiah Jessen, what's on TV tonight? What's on tap? We're going to see some – by the way, while we were discussing this, the Dodgers went up 2-1 on the Rays here in the in Game 6.
World Series highlights. We'll show you that went. And we'll also check in with the Utes tonight and camp the latest with
see
Utah.
What the quarterback controversy is. Plus, Kearns High School, I saw. I was so sad for those guys this season. Having an awesome year. And then they
– 8-1 this year, had a chance to make a run in the playoffs, and unfortunately those young men will have to see their season end.
And I don't think it's going to be the last with these playoffs either. So, all right, JJ, thanks for hanging out.
You got it.
Taking the break, coming back. More to go right here. A couple more segments left on KSL's Unraveled on KSL News Radio.
The Unrivaled NFL Roundup. Premium grade A pro football stories from your two hosts, a former NFL quarterback and
the other guy.
It's the Unrivaled NFL Roundup.
My goodness, Scott. Yes, the NFL finds itself in an interesting spot. We talked about this last night with the league having a big disparity between the haves and have-nots and the middle class of pro football has been totally lost, Scott. Yes, I'm very worried about it. So what I want to know is first – you talked about how difficult it could be, you know, being in the spot where you're so bad so early earlier in the show. But, you know, when you think about some of these teams that there are teams that totally deserve it, though. And then there are the teams that you're going, oh, my goodness, it just has been piled on and injuries or whatever. I think the Cowboys kind of are in that category on top of all of it. And so you have all of these different teams going through different stuff. And Jerry Jones is gotten pretty upset because he's not just the face of that franchise. I mean, he's the entire look of what that organization is and has been since 1989, essentially. And so here was what the conversation that was had on a local radio show there in Dallas on the Fan, and it was an awkward exchange for sure.
Does your team have a leadership void?
We're in the offensive line, where
overall
where,
when
seriously,
these
but seriously, where would you have a leadership void? Is it an experience void? Is it a talent void? Is it a leadership void? I'm not trying to be cute here. The answer is no. The answer is no. It is shut up and let me answer.
Because as long as you're losing and as long as you're the Dallas Cowboys, you're going to be open to this question
and
numerous questions because it just doesn't make sense. There's a higher expectation that the Cowboys put out there, and I think the NFL is expecting, especially with the weakness of the NFC East, and the Cowboys just should be playing better. You get a new coach, you're headed in a different direction, and you're just asking yourself, you know, really, I mean, until they win a Super Bowl, and they probably can't even win a Super Bowl, it's got to be multiple Super Bowls, that he's going to get these questions. And he's a guy that doesn't like to have to answer these questions because he's a guy that is used to winning and being successful. And so it's a hard thing for someone like Jerry Jones to have to answer that question. I can totally see how he would get testy about it. But you know what? The reporter loves asking the question.
No, I know.
Because he knows he's going to get a rise out of Jerry Jones.
It's pretty interesting, too, because that guy is the most powerful person in
Texas sports at all, right? I mean, like, that's the guy. And so he kind of –
maybe the nation.
Right. I mean, and so he's going on the show, and he has a weekly spot where he comes onto this show, and they have kind of a rapport every week. He can definitely say absolutely not. I mean, could you imagine – you know, it'd be like Larry Miller back in his heyday going on and answering really, really tough questions. You know, he's also a guy that doesn't really like to – he doesn't turn away from anything. He likes to answer to stuff. But he would never find himself in the position where he'd have to get grovel and have this argument with, you know, some dumb sports radio hosts. You know how those weirdos are.
The answer is deny, 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 deny. Okay, that's a standard answer, because if you say – yeah, we have a serious leadership problem. And then you know what they say? Well, that's kind of on the coach, isn't it? I mean, isn't he the one that's coaching up these players? And isn't he the guy? And it's like, you know, then it's like, well, now you got to fire your coach, or you got to look into, and it just snowballs. So people are always, they're always going to deny until they don't want to deny anymore, until they want to go, you know what? Coach is kind of lacking leadership here, and that's the message that, guess what, he's out the door soon. And so you as a, it's weird because you need the media, you want the media, but you don't really want the media,
right?
Because if you really tell the truth, then you just open yourself up to all of these other issues. And what guys will do, and typically it's receivers, they go, no, I'm gonna open up.
Yeah.
Right? I'm gonna
make my frustrations heard.
I'm gonna be
management's gonna have to address me.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so everyone in the media goes, we gotta talk to Chad Johnson. We gotta talk to, you know, any of these guys. You know, Antonio Brown. I mean, they're all that way. I mean, Terrell Owens. You just go on, and it's by design. These guys aren't stupid. They know that they become the conversation, and it's all a marketing ploy.
Well,
and they're just using the media as free marketing. You know, think of the millions of people that hear about them because they're so outrageous.
Yeah, and Jerry Jones, he knows what he's doing. The best thing that he could do is have strife going on, because it actually pays just as well. I mean, the reality is having a disastrous situation in Dallas is actually just as profitable as it is to not. I think that
right. –
You know, I think
there's no such thing as bad publicity.
Yeah, especially in the NFL. Yeah. I mean, these are especially for the most, you know, one of the most, you know, valued franchises on the planet. So let me bring this up, Scott. There are a couple things I want to bring up. And these are college guys and pros. And first, let's talk about Trevor Lawrence, who has suddenly turned all sorts of indifferent about the questions about going to the NFL. He's now turned to, well, who knows if that's even going to be something that I do next year. Which before was not even an option. Trevor Lawrence was going to absolutely go into the draft, and now he's kind of pulling the – I don't know if that's a move that you have with your agent, Scott, when you go, no, just go out there and just kind of act like you're not as interested. Maybe that might be more profitable for
us. Well, it's not profitable as much as it is – it looks like it might be the Jets, and I don't want to go to the Jets. So I will come back for my fifth year. You know what? I'll get – injured so I can have a medical red shirt,
yeah,
anything, not to have to go play for the Jets. And all it is, it's just a way of him saying, I'm going to use whatever leverage I can, which is, hey, I don't have to go in the draft, to make sure that I get in the best possible position that I can be in. And quite frankly, I think they should let these players do that. I think they should say, okay, I'm going to go in the draft, and you know what, I don't like where I'm going, I'm just going to go back to college.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
well, guess what? Next year, at this rate, the Jets are going to be right back being the ones knocking at the door anyway.
Yeah, he'd be there the next 10 years, and he'd still,
he'd still be the first pick.
But shouldn't it be that way? I mean, think about when you leave college, you interview with different companies, and you get an opportunity to kind of pick where you want to go.
If it doesn't work for Trevor Lawrence, he could take a gap year in Paris, you know, like other kids do. They graduate from college and go, I'm just going to take some time and, like, think about my options, man.
I mean, that wouldn't be out of the realm of, you know, how people are these days. You know, this new generation.
These millennials.
What is it? No, they're Zs. They're not even millennials.
Yeah,
we've gone way millennials past millennials.
Are way too responsible compared to this Gen Z folk. All right, so let me go back to the college thing again. The Shrine Bowl, the East-West Shrine Bowl, has been canceled. That's a huge problem for guys who aren't going to be necessarily invited to the Senior Bowl, which is like that, you know, that top tier. The East-West Shrine game is one of those games that many a BYU player certainly earned their way into the Senior Bowl in the next weeks after that. But this is I think this is a massive deal for if they cancel this to be looked at. Come on, Scott.
Doesn't matter.
What do you mean it doesn't matter?
There's only two things that matter.
Well, the combine and
there's three. Senior Bowl matters.
Okay.
If you want to go to a bowl game, but a Senior Bowl is the one
so
that
the
matters.
East-West Shrine Bowl is whatever.
It's whatever.
And then the combine's the other thing that matters.
The combine's
right?
The other thing, but then it's your individual workouts. Though it's really – it's not one thing or another. It's a combination of a lot of things. So they see your season. They get to work with you for a whole week at the Senior Bowl, and then they kind of – they get that final affirmation when you go to the combine, and then those personal workouts where they just – it's just you, and they really can just – do some deep dive on, you know, your skill set. That's what matters. East restaurant, that doesn't bother me.
All right, well, tell that to some of these guys from BYU who've gotten invites over the past few seasons.
Well, if you get an invite, go.
Based on their performances.
It's not going
to
hurt you.
No, they got invites to the Senior Bowl based on their performance at the East-West Shrine game.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen that often, but it's happened. Yeah. All right, we're going to take the break here. We'll come back. More to go on KSL's Unrivaled. Our two-minute drills around the corner. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about. Plus, we're working toward the weekend. We're trying to figure out a way we can get to Skippers somehow on the West Coast. Stay with us right here on KSL's Unrivaled.
All right, welcome back to KSL's Unrivaled. I'm Scott Mitchell. That is Alex Carey. And that music you're hearing in the background kind of gets the juices flowing.
Oh, yeah.
And causes me to have goosebumps because that means it is time for the two-minute drill. And, Alex, would you like me to explain what happens in the two-minute drill?
From what I recall of what the two-minute drill is, Russell Wilson goes down and throws an interception and ruins my perfect season.
Yes.
That's all I've gotten out of it this year.
So much lack of time management. But here's how we do it on our show.
Yes.
All right, well, you know, in a football game, you got to hurry down the field because you don't have a lot of time trying to kick a field goal, score a touchdown to win the game, so you hurry, all right? In our show, we don't have a lot of time left at the end, so we have a lot to talk about, but not a lot of time to do it. So we talk a little bit about a lot of things. We hurry down the field. We win the game. We're happy. Everyone goes home with a trophy, and that's it.
Let me ask you something. This is just this probably could have been saved for the Ask Got Anything segment earlier in the show, but I was thinking about how, because I was, when I follow these guys who do racing in F1, they go to these races, and like, it's really hilarious because some of these guys, if they're really bad, but they finish like 11th, they're like, this is the greatest thing ever. If they finish 10th and they get a point technically, they're like, oh, this is amazing. But like, if a guy gets on the podium, that's a massive deal, and they go, yeah, it was really fun. The celebrating afterward got a little bit out of hand. You know, and that's every week. They do this thing every week. And so I thought, what's it like to win just a football game in the NFL? Has it just become party central, like when you guys win?
When you first start, you have this over-exuberance. You know, it's just – it's incredible. I mean, believe me, it's not even just winning a game that's exciting. It's like completing a pass. It's throwing a touchdown. You see these guys jump up, and they get so excited. It's pure emotion. That's not contrived. For the most part, I mean, after a while, guys kind of figure out their dance routine. But for the most part, these guys are excited. So yeah, when you win your first game, oh my goodness,
it is a crazy feeling.
But when you're around a coach like Don Shula, who's won like a million games, and he realizes you haven't won anything yet, right? And that statement all the time.
It's no fun. That's when you go, Coach, come on, let's have this moment. Please.
Now I had a guy when I played for the Detroit Lions, and he'd played for the 49ers. And he goes, man, I love it here because everyone gets excited after you win a game. When I was with the 49ers, it was like you'd go 14-2, and that was like a terrible year
right. If
you didn't win the Super Bowl. It's just nice that you can celebrate and appreciate when you win a football game.
I just think it's exciting when guys that are unsung heroes end up being honored during a game. Last night after the Rams beat the Bears in Monday Night Football, and handily, by the way. I mean, they just absolutely dominated both sides of the football. But they dominated the third segment of the game. Scott, the special teams, their punter got the game ball in the locker room. It's just, it's ridiculous because this is not something that you feel like that.
Look, punters and kickers aren't really football players. That's kind of the written rule, but the unwritten rule is
Sean McVay
until
you
need one.
Johnny Hecker.
Yeah.
He's never got it. He goes, look, I normally don't do something like this. He was phenomenal tonight. It's exactly what we expect from him. Don't ever take it for granted. And this is exactly what we got out of this. Exactly what we wanted. He's a first-team All-Pro, you know, over the past four seasons, so he's really good. He could be one of the best punters in the history of the game, but he got the game ball, Scott. The punter never gets a game ball. At least the kicker who scores points can get a game ball.
And actually, punters are more normal than kickers, but that's a whole different discussion. Look, when you're a guy when you're a guy that can actually change the field possession, that's a massive thing, especially with a defense as good as what the Rams have. And what most teams will do in the NFL is they'll make you try to go 70, 80 yards, and they don't believe you can. They think you'll not convert a third down, or that you'll make a mistake, you'll throw an interception, you'll fumble, or you'll just have a mishap. Maybe even if it's a penalty. And if you have to go this long field, the percentages are that you'll probably screw up before that happens. And so defenses play the percentage game. When you got a punter that can do that consistently throughout a game, I mean, the Bears were always fighting uphill offensively in an offense that's not super explosive as it is. So, yeah, a punter can be an absolutely critical weapon to any good defense. I mean, Kyle Whittingham has made his career off of that very strategy at Utah.
So the Utah State Aggies and Jason Shelley, their starting quarterback, of course, that everybody was anticipating quite a bit from this season. Of course, they got absolutely beat up, 42-13 in their opener to Boise State, and it was a tough game. He threw for 92 yards, 14-27. They had 40 yards of total offense in the first quarter, but Gary Anderson says he's sticking with him. Scott, how long do you stick with a guy who's not performing, though?
Well, what's hard is, yeah, there's a relationship that Gary Anderson has with Jason Shelley. And when he saw him at Utah, he had Utah talent around him. You know, he had a really good offensive line, really good running back that year, and some very, very talented pieces in receivers and tight ends. And so that, you know, he was in a better situation with the talent around him. I'm not sure that Utah State has that. So it's kind of hard. The first game, I wouldn't read a whole lot into it. You'll see them play better. Jason Shelley's a good player, and they'll figure a way how to kind of play into his strength. And once they do, you know, he'll be fine.
I'm wondering if a guy like Jason Shelley would benefit from, I don't know, because this year's a freebie. The double transfer, Scott. You go from Utah, it doesn't work out at Utah State. Maybe you ask for something else, opens up a little bit somewhere else. I don't know.
Coaches move around like that. I mean, sure. Why not a player? And I mean, if it's a free year. Jason Shelley is a good quarterback, and Utah State's a good place for him.
Yeah,
they just need a little bit more time. I mean, Boise State is
that's a tough game.
Yeah, I mean, normally you start out with, you know, maybe an easier opponent than Boise State in the beginning. So, you know, just give him a little time. He'll be fine.
I wonder if BYU can figure it out up on the blue turf this year. Scott, this one's an interesting one for me, and that is that the NBA has gone back to talking about the possibility of starting up the season around Christmas, maybe even earlier than Christmas. Camp starting up December 1st. Now, these haven't happened yet, but they've been discussing these dates, and part of that has to do with the possibility of those first games not having fans at them, which would be a massive concession, but they would be at the local arenas. Yes.
I actually like the idea of this. I really do. And I like it because I love the NBA starting at Christmas. I love those Christmas NBA games. It's actually interesting to watch. I think you'll get a lot of people that would tune in. You think about most of the NBA, Alex, and it was off in March. And the teams that went to the bubble, yeah, they had eight games to play, and then they, you know, they just dwindled and dwindled as the playoffs went along. So there were really only two teams, Denver and the Lakers, that kind of went through the whole part of that experiment. And so they may be the most tired or the least ready to start, you know, a couple of months after they just finished. But if you remember, the NBA playoffs was after a long delay. So really, everybody in the NBA hasn't played that much since March, and I think having a Christmas start actually could be a very exciting thing for the teams. And okay, fine, give the Lakers a little bit of time off, and maybe Denver schedule wise early on in the season. But it could be a great way for the NBA to actually have a pretty successful season. I think it would be great.
I'm all for it. If they can figure out a way. Now this would be a 72. Isn't that right, Jeremy? It'd be a 72 game season instead of the 82.
Oh, that's
games.
Even better.
And part of it would be to be able to start then, have the 72 games, have the season ended, and then have the Olympics be able to start up so that these guys can participate internationally.
Perfect.
And on most normal years, they could do the 82-game season and still have the middle of the summer. I think they're going to benefit massively from having a schedule shift, and I think we might be able to get our way and have this thing happen by Christmas. And then you can have basketball all summer long. All right. For Scott Mitchell, I'm Alex Keery. Scott, did you have fun tonight?
I had a great time, Alex. And
as
I got
usual.
A trophy, so it's good.
There you go. Stay away from those jalapenos, those habanero peppers, buddy. I know that they don't make you feel good, so... For Scott Mitchell, our producer Jeremy, I'm Alex Keery. We'll talk to you tomorrow night, everybody.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.